At Desjardins Insurance, we put the care in taking care of business. Your business to be exact. Our agents take the time to understand your company so you get the right coverage at the right price. Whether you rent out your building, represent a condo corporation, or own a cleaning company, we make insurance easy to understand so you can focus on the big stuff, like your small business. Get insurance that's really big on care. Find an agent today at Desjardins.com/business coverage.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hello, it's Matt here. Thanks for listening to The Current, wherever you're getting this podcast. Before we get to today's show, wonder if I might ask a favor of you. If you could hit the follow button on whatever app you're using. There is a lot of news that's out there these days. We're trying to help you make sense of it all and give you a bit of a break from some of that news too. So if you already follow the program, thank you. And if you have done that, maybe you could leave us a rating or review as well. The whole point of this is to let more listeners find our show and perhaps find some of that information that's so important in these really tricky times. So thanks for all of that. Appreciate it. And on to today's show. The city of Windsor is in the far southwestern corner of Ontario. When you walk along the waterfront trail, you look into the United States. The skyline looms right there on the other side of the Detroit River. Windsor shares a bridge and a tunnel with Detroit, Michigan. This fall, the new $6.5 billion Gordie Howe Bridge will further connect these two communities. This city is in many ways a microcosm of Canada's relationship with the United States, one that is complicated and close, but has also been fraying this week. And so we jumped on the train to come down to a place that considers the United States more than just a next-door neighbor. This morning, we are at a table in the Backroad Cafe. Across the street is the Stellantis plant, where thousands of workers are rattled by Donald Trump's claim that the United States doesn't need Canadian cars. Detroit may be the motor city, but on this side of the river, I am in the heart of Canada's auto sector, looking out at a parking lot that is full of Chrysler vans at the Stellantis plant. The industry is the main economic driver for this region. It employs thousands of people. And for these workers, the stakes are very, very high, with the threat of 25% tariffs from the United States looming. James Stewart is president of the local union that represents workers at that Stellantis plant. And Jonathan Azzopardi is the president of Laval International, an auto parts, tool, and mold manufacturer in the region. They both join us here in the cafe with the coffee. Good morning to you both.
Good morning, Matt.
James, how are you feeling? It's been some week.
It's been more than a week. The threats have been there for, a year. He's been talking about tariffs. How that was going to look here in Canada obviously wasn't outlined clearly. And the goalposts have moved a lot since he came into the presidency. So, it's been rough. Mm. And I don't think that's over yet. I think it's going to continue to be rough for a while yet.
John, you said that in some ways it feels like a funeral.
Yeah.
What did you mean by that?
Well, it's funny. I was sitting in the same room, in the same spot, in the same chair 8 years ago. And things felt a little different back then. This time it feels like a funeral because it seems like our best friend, who we've had a relationship for many years, as you said, most of us have families on both sides of the border. Most of us, if we had to go to dinner, we'd go to the other side of the border. All of a sudden, that seems like it's died to us, like that's been closed to us. And that's, in a lot of ways, that's hurtful, and we're starting to get a bit angry.
You make your way here to this cafe, James, and you come through. I mean, the plant is everywhere around here. It's enormous, and you see everybody who's heading into work as we are making our way in. This is the largest employer in Windsor, Stellantis is. What would 25% tariffs mean for the auto industry here?
It would be devastating.
Devastating.
Make no mistake. When you understand the system, you understand, and no one knows this better than Jonathan, but the parts that go into the vehicle, they cross the border 6 to 8 times before it's actually built and then shipped. So if you can imagine each part every time it crosses the border getting a tariff of 25%, the cost of the vehicle goes up exponentially, and consumers aren't going to buy it. And suppliers that have to bear the brunt of the cost originally won't be able to afford to ship the parts that they need. So I think it would affect our plants almost immediately on both sides of the border, in the States, in Canada, and in Mexico.
The plants, but what about the people who work in those plants? What are you hearing from your members about what this last week and a bit has been like?
They're nervous, and I think they feel a lot the same feelings that everyone is feeling.
I mean, the belief was if those tariffs came into place on Tuesday, the talk was that lines were going to shut down within a week.
Then that's true. We would do everything we can to keep them running as long as we can, but there's no doubt, without the stop of the tariffs, that could happen very quickly. I don't know if it's a couple of days, I don't know if it's 2 weeks, but it would be fast.
And so for people who have, they got mortgages, they have car payments, they have kids in hockey and dance and whatever else.
Terrifying. Yeah. That's, it's one word, terrifying. Their whole world would change literally overnight. We have good things bargained in our collective agreements, but the supply chain doesn't have those things, work protections, income protections for a short period of time. That would, it would be a terrifying feeling for these workers, and the result would be terrible. This John? City would be affected almost immediately.
What about for you, John? Tell me about Laval and what you make, but also the stakes for your business in the face of this threat.
Well, Matt, I'd like to say that you're welcome to the manufacturing capital of Canada. You know, the automotive is a big part of our economy and our community, but we are a manufacturing juggernaut. So what this community has done is continue to make things that make things. So that's what we do. We primarily make molds that make parts that go into potentially vehicles or you know, other products. So that's, we have two plants, one that makes the equipment, one that makes the parts. So our parts, we're, as James was saying, you know, we are the, we live the spirit of what the free trade agreement was written for. We will buy American steel. So steel is about 50% of our cost of goods. We buy that from America. We take that American steel, turn it into a mold, send it to the United States, have it further processed by Americans and American companies, bring it back to Canada, finish processing it, take that, send it to the United States. Then it, Americans take that equipment and make parts that will be put into vehicles that will be sold in Canada and the United States. By definition, that's what a free trade agreement was written for us to invest in both communities, in both countries equally, at the end to benefit both countries.
Sitting in a cafe, I mean, that's like, you can't unscramble the omelet. Do you know what I mean? No, like, it sounds as integrated as you could possibly be.
And that's how we feel about it. I mean, I can speak for myself, and I can probably speak for James and probably everybody in this room. We've done everything we've could since we've been born in this community to make the border non-existent, imaginary, doesn't exist. And it seems like all of a sudden, because of one person, and I'm going to say it's the Trump tariffs, not the American tariffs, because I don't think the Americans obviously don't believe in what's happening, because they believe in the same system as us, that it's all changed.
Do you feel betrayed by that?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
like I said before, and this is no lie, I have half of my family on that side of the border. And it feels like it's literally been closed to us because of somebody's agenda.
James, what do you make of, there's a Buy Canada mentality right now. We talked about this on the program. People go into the grocery store and they're looking, you know, at the can of beans, trying to figure out where they came from, looking for the little sticker on it. And it's not just in the grocery store, it's well beyond that as well. What do you think people across this country need to understand about how that Buy Canada mentality is being felt differently in this community?
Well, I don't think it is different. I think what happened with Trump and his proposed tariffs, it was a betrayal. John's right. We cross the border for concerts. We cross the border for dinners. There's a revitalization of Detroit. It's a good place to go for an evening out. We have family. We have people that live in this city. We have 1,500 nurses that live in this city and work in Detroit. You know, we are a very, we're close knit, and you're right. You almost feel like the border's not there. It's there. You go through it. You show your ID. But it is a betrayal, and that's the way we feel. And it's not by the American people. We have friends, we have family there, but you can see people in the grocery stores looking at this. But I think the challenge for us is greater, because, you know, you can choose to buy Canadian all you want. Mm. I think it's a really, what's happened is polarized Canadians in that venue. But we still, you know, in manufacturing, in auto manufacturing, we still depend on 90% of our product crossing the border and being sold in the States.
I guess, I mean, part of it is there's a Buy Canadian mentality, but there's also people who are booing the American national anthem. There are people who, I was on the train yesterday, and a guy had a hat on with the stars and stripes on it. And I will say, as he walked down the aisle of the train, people kind of gave him the stink eye as he was walking down the aisle. It's not about just buying Canadian. It's an attitude in some ways that's been directed towards people in the United States. And when you say that you have that close of tie, people talk about how this isn't, people look at this as a suburb of Detroit, or that, you know, Detroit is a suburb of Windsor. It's more than just being neighbors, right? And I just wonder how that strikes differently.
I personally don't feel that the American people are against Canadians. Mm. I don't. I have people texting me, friends and family, saying, I'm sorry, what's going on? They know what my job is. I'm sorry, what's going on? I feel so bad. And that's directly from people who live right in Michigan. So I don't feel it towards the American people, but I certainly feel it towards the administration. And the lack of understanding that Canada has been the number one ally to the U.S. for 100 years. We've been the number one trading partner with the U.S. We sell our oil and gas at a discounted rate. And that the oil and gas is the only reason there's a surplus for Canadian market. You take that out of the picture, and there's a deficit in trade with Canada. So when you're talking about perception. I don't feel it towards the American people. I certainly do feel betrayed by the administration that's there today.
You know, what's interesting is before the election, we were down in Dearborn, and we talked to a lot of folks who work in the auto sector on that side of the border, and they were really enthusiastic about voting for Donald Trump. And they talked about that idea of reshoring an industry. They understand that it goes back and forth and back and forth, but they felt that he represented their interests more. Do you understand where they were coming from?
I think they don't understand that how it would affect their auto industry.
Yeah.
I don't think
even people working in
that industry.
It's an
easy thing to say. It's an easy thing to say that, oh, great, he's going to rebuild the American manufacturing sector. And realistically, with the tariff issue and what he's doing, Canada didn't take jobs away from the U.S. We're good paying in auto. We're good paying jobs. We have good benefits. We're not losing. The States isn't losing jobs to Canada. They're losing jobs to jurisdictions that don't pay good wages, that don't have high health and safety regulation. That's where they're losing jobs to, not Canada. Mm. And I think there's a misunderstanding by some of the Americans that maybe work in the auto industry, not recognizing how this would affect them, not understanding that parts cross the border before they land in a vehicle 6 and 7 times from Mexico to Canada to U.S. So that not recognizing how it would affect their industry the way the whole system is developed today.
John, you talked about feeling betrayed. In light of what's happened and what may still come, I mean, people say that this is a reprieve or, you know, a stay of execution briefly or something like that. How are you rethinking your relationship with the United States?
Well, it's... I will say, and I will say this honestly, and probably a lot of people don't want to hear this, but in my lifetime, we will not see us not become dependent on the United States. That's just the reality.
That dependency will continue.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I've honestly always said to everybody, people have come to me and says, you know, we should, you know, break our dependency to the United States. And I keep saying, why do you want to do that? Why does the pie have to be less? Why can't the pie be more? Why can't we continue to create this relationship that we've had for so many years that has been great? Why can't we just add to it? Why can't we go to other countries in addition to the United States? Everybody thinks it has to be without. And I'm going to be honest with you, I think that should be the plan. We are very fortunate. We have access to the largest consumer in the world. We have been a great trading partner. We've been a great partner in their growth. And I don't see that changing. I do see that right now we have some things that we need to work on. If I was the Americans, I would probably be looking at our banking system and our communications and our milk as an example, as our dairy industry, as maybe an insult, right? We want access to their markets. They need access to our markets. I think that a looser border is probably in the cards. Mm-hmm. I think we have to seriously consider that. That does not mean we're going to become the 51st state. That shouldn't be in the cards. I'm not excited about that at all. But I think the European Union showed that you can have looser borders that still work for everybody. And I don't think somebody who lived in Germany after the EU, I don't think they were less German. So I don't fear that we would become less Canadian. But I do think over the next 6 months to a year, you're probably going to see some changes. And some of those changes may be, for the first time for a lot of us.
I'm going to let you both go. But what do you want the rest of the country to know about what is happening here and how that plays out?
Well, I mean, I won't jump in on what James got to say, but I'm going to say that, you know, pay attention to what happens in Windsor. We're like the canary in the mine. What happens here and the outcome of what happens here in the short term is what the rest of Canada will feel in the next 6 months. So we're going to continue to fight hard. We think that there's a win at the end of this, but pay attention to what's going on.
James?
My message would be that, and I'm a labor person, so I think labor, business, government have to work together to make sure that we're successful and we withstand this.
And do you see that now? Do you see that happening now?
I think it certainly has changed over the course of the last 3 weeks. And I think that, there's some bipartisanship. There's some real coming together of people. And we've always had a good relationship with our business partners in Windsor. But I think people have to know that it's got to be, you know, the full country has to be on board on doing this. And I think some of what Jonathan said is correct. And the way things are going to change, I think it's a two-prong approach. You know, in some ways, we have to expand our markets around oil, gas, critical minerals, finding new markets. But at the same time, we are going to be dependent on the States. Manufacturing, skilled trades, investments, they're going to continue to be our number one trading partner. So I think you're right. Watch Windsor, and we're going to work hard from the labor community, work hard to do everything we can to support Canada across the board.
It's good to have you both here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
James Stewart is president of the local union representing workers at the Stellantis plant, which is right across the street from us here at the Back Road Cafe. Jonathan Azzopardi is president of Laval International. It's a tool and mold manufacturer in Essex County.
At Desjardins Insurance, we put the care in taking care of business. Your business, to be exact. Our agents take the time to understand your company so you get the right coverage at the right price. Whether you rent out your building, represent a condo corporation, or own a cleaning company, we make insurance easy to understand so you can focus on the big stuff, like your small business. Get insurance that's really big on care. Find an agent today at Desjardins.com/business coverage.
On the 80th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz comes an unprecedented exhibition about one of history's darkest moments. Auschwitz, not long ago, not far away, features more than 500 original objects, first-hand accounts, and survivor testimonies that tell the powerful story of the Auschwitz concentration camp, its history and legacy, and the underlying conditions that allowed the Holocaust to happen. On now exclusively at ROM. Tickets at rom.ca.
The automotive sector is a major economic driver in the city of Windsor, but agriculture is a close second. Essex County is home to the second largest concentration of greenhouses in the world, shipping billions of dollars of tomatoes, peppers, and cucumbers across the border every year. And as you can imagine, a 25% tariff on that sector would be devastating. Richard Lee is executive director of the Ontario Greenhouse Vegetable Growers, and he joins us here in the Back Road Cafe. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Matt. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. I gave a kind of thumbnail sketch. Tell me about the size of your industry. I'd read that something like 80% of all greenhouses in Canada are in this area.
Yeah, southwestern region is the host of the majority of our production. We represent over 4,100 acres of greenhouse vegetable production dedicated to cucumber, tomato, and pepper production. 3,200 acres of that is located in Essex County. That would consist of the Kingsville, Ruthven, and Leamington area.
Something I did not know until reading it this week was that a lot of the, for cherry tomatoes, for example, a lot of the cherry tomatoes that people buy in the United States come from right here.
Yes, yes. So we rely heavily on the U.S. For access. We reach about 58% of the U.S. population. Our proximity to the borders ensure that we can get fresh, nutritious vegetables to the store shelves within a day's drive. So, I mean, when you talk about fresh produce, it can't get much fresher than that. All these tomatoes that you see, there's different varieties, peppers and cucumbers, a lot of snacking varieties that are hitting the shelves in the U.S. market. And we go as far down south as the Florida, southern tip of Florida.
So you get a 25% tariff. What does that do to this industry?
Very challenging. You look at the supply chain, there's not the margins anywhere along that supply chain where a grower, a produce seller, or a retailer can absorb. So ultimately, that taxes the end consumer.
Could they be just sold here instead of being shipped to the States?
Yeah, you know what? Ontario retailers, Canadian retailers do their best to take what they can.
And I ask you that in the context of like the Buy Canadian kind of movement that seems to be springing up.
Yeah, there's no interprovincial challenges. We have greenhouses on the West Coast, Quebec, that can steadily supply retailers. But the Canadian population compared to the U.S. is just so, it's 10%.
We couldn't eat all the tomatoes and cucumbers that you're growing.
We grow
as good
a lot
as they are.
We grow 505 million kilograms of produce a year. So to put that into context, that's about 300 trailer truckloads leaving farms daily, with 200 of them destined south of the border.
So what are you hearing from growers in the region? There's this 30-day reprieve, but nobody knows what's going to happen at the end of 30 days, and Donald Trump has been president for 2 weeks.
Yeah, very concerned. A lot of investment made into the sector. We experience the most sunlight throughout the year, which makes our farming location optimal. There's a lot of investment that's at risk here, and it's not like my counterparts that were just on earlier. We can't shut the switch off. We can't shut that production line off. The investment has been made. The crops are planted.
So what does that mean? People are just going to lose money or what? Or companies are going to go under?
I really hope that's not a foreseeable future.
But you must be looking at doomsday scenarios, or at the very least trying to game this out?
Yeah, worst case scenario, you're looking at impacting over 29,000 jobs across the full value chain. You're talking about truckers, you're talking about pallet boxes, marketing, advertising. If that market is completely shut off, these marketers and these growers are very resilient. They'll find ways to be able to keep the doors open, but it's going to come with some pain.
What does that tell you? And again, we wanted to come down here because, as I said, you're in Windsor. The United States is right there. You can see it, but also the ties are just kind of back and forth and back and forth all the time. What does what you're saying tell the rest of the country about the state of that relationship between these two countries?
Leadership. We need leadership. We need policy alignment with our key trading partners. We need to be able to strengthen that relationship to promote the economies in both countries as opposed to weakening it. And these tariffs and retaliatory tariffs only weaken that relationship.
What would you say to your friends on the other side of the border? I mean, one of the neat things about being here is that media crosses the border too. And so the radio wave's going to go back and forth and back and forth. So if folks in the United States were listening to this broadcast, what would you say to them?
Integrated North American supply chain. If I bring us back to the pandemic, food flowed freely across that border. We fed North America. There were no issues. We need to enhance that, and we need to be enabled by our federal government to ensure that North America is fed.
Are you losing sleep over all of this?
It feels like Groundhog Day since just after Christmas and into the new year, It's the same messaging, and we're hoping that leaders in Canada and the U.S. are listening.
You just wonder whether they are.
I'm sorry?
You just wonder whether they are listening.
It's tough. We're in a tough situation with the provincial government and federal government, and that's where we're looking for that leadership.
Richard, thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt.
Richard Lee is Executive Director of the Ontario Greenhouse Vegetable Growers.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.